Now I want you to turn with me to the chapter that Mark read for us. It's found in Galatians and chapter 6, the last chapter of the epistle to the Galatians, chapter 6, and I have one verse to bring to you. I want to try, if I can tonight, to speak to you about the birth marks of the Christian, or if you like, just simply the marks of a Christian. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I suppose all of you are aware that these are the days of tattoos. Almost every town or major town or city, there's a tattoo salon that people can go to and have their bodies tattooed. I don't like it. I'm against it. I believe the Bible teaches against it as well. However, we do know that many, many people have tattoos on their body. And they have tattoos for a number of reasons, no doubt, some of which are kept to themselves because it's a personal reason. Some of our prominent sports characters have tattoos, which I think look very hideous. But nevertheless, they do it and think that it may look lovely or good or great or even brave. Some years ago, a Wimbledon champion had just won the championship and said that the last time that he'd won the championship, he had a tattoo put in his body. And so now he wanted another tattoo. That every time he won Wimbledon, he would tattoo his body. He wants to be thankful he only won it twice. If he kept on that way, well, like some people that we maybe have seen on television, there's not an inch of their body that's not actually tattooed at all. But tonight I want to speak to you about something which is far more important and necessary for us to understand. What are the marks of a true Christian? Can we really tell a Christian? And in our Bible, does it tell us about the marks of being a Christian? The Apostle Paul was quite certain in his answer, wasn't he? "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." If you were to read this epistle, it wouldn't take you many minutes because there's only six small chapters in it. And you might agree with me when I say that it's an epistle of trouble. First of all, there was trouble for the Galatian Christians. They were troubled by what we call fifth columnists. That means that there are people who have crept into the church unawares. People hadn't realised that they were, instead of being those to help, they were there to hinder and to harm them. And they were teaching false doctrine. They said to them, "You can have Christ as your saviour, but what you ought to do is also to keep the law." And the law that they meant were not just the Ten Commandments, we believe that, but also keeping the 613 commandments that the old rabbis kept adding to the law with. So there were little laws about how many steps you could take on the Sabbath day, how much you could eat at some special occasions, and what you could do at other occasions. And they said, if you really are to be saved, you've got to do that. And then Paul seems to be troubled in this epistle. There were those who came in and said, Paul is not preaching the right gospel. He was attacked, especially by the Jews. They accused him of forming a new fangled religion, a manufactured religion by Paul himself. Others said that he was insincere, that he was in the ministry for personal gain, that he pocketed the collection, or perhaps he was there just simply for prestige, just to gain a name for himself. And Paul's answer to that is very clear. He says, "Here's my proof. I bear in my own body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now again, let me ask the question, what is the mark, or what are the marks of a true Christian? Are there any? Perhaps some may say, well, a true Christian goes to church. Does that make you a Christian? Others will say, well, a true Christian is one who does his best in life. Does that really make people Christian? And then others will say, but some good action. You look at a person and they've done a really tremendous action. That makes them a Christian. Or some will say, a person with lots of tolerance. A person who's full of love. A person who is happy all the time. And we could go on and on, couldn't we? But you know, there are lots of people who are like that in the world and they never go to church. They certainly have no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they're not saved before they die, if they don't trust the Lord Jesus as Saviour, they're going to a lost eternity. They're going to hell. Well then, what really are the marks of a true Christian? I want you to have a look at this verse, and I want to try, if I can, to speak about it. And I want you to apply it to your own heart and life tonight, just to see where we really stand. So the first thing that I must do is to speak about the meaning of this particular verse. The word translated in our Bible, marks, is the word stigmata. Maybe you've heard that name, stigmata. We get our word stigma from it, or stigmatize. It's a word that we don't like very much. It's what we categorize as a negative word. Really, the actual word means a mark in the flesh. So you almost could say, even like the tattooist says, here is a mark in the flesh. But it's stuck much more than that. You see, when we talk about a mark in the flesh, which is a stigmata, we're really attributing to someone something that we don't like, and it's a stigma which is attached to them. They have a disease such as leprosy. We read in the Bible about this awful disease called leprosy, and it was a stigma. No one would walk near a leper. They had to walk on the other side of the road. They lived in caves and dwellings outside of the city. They weren't allowed to dwell amongst the ordinary people. It was a stigma to them. And they were stigmatized away from society because of that. It was something bad. The word actually could be translated quite clearly, brand. Now, this day of great manufacturing, you all know what brand actually means. You go to the supermarket and maybe you look for a brand. But on anything there's a brand, of course. And maybe you prefer something that has a brand name rather than just any old thing, and you like to buy that yourself. Paul here was speaking about a brand, a stigmata. He was talking about marks, but what he really was talking about was physical injuries. Physical injuries to his body. You know, we don't think that the Apostle Paul was a very tall man. He probably was very short. He was a slight man. He probably had very bad eyesight as well. Some think that he stooped. He was a hunchback. In fact, he wasn't very much to look upon at all. It was the words that he spoke and the power that God gave him as he ministered the word that really counted in his own life. But because he preached Jesus as the Lord and the fulfillment of all the Old Testament scriptures, you know that he was persecuted. 5 times he had 39 stripes upon his back. It was against the law to give him 40, because they reckoned that that was just too much and could kill him. But 5 times he had 39 stripes of the whip, and that whip would have even pieces of metal in the leather parts of it, and it would come down upon his back 39 times. 3 times was he beaten with rods. He was stoned, he was battered, he was shipwrecked, he was bruised, he was beaten. He was in perils, he was in troubles and trials. he suffered hunger and thirst. He was cold and he was naked. He was cast into prison. And all these things happened to him. And he said, look at my body. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Very few all down history have gone through all the troubles that the Apostle Paul actually went through. But somehow, if you are a Christian and you know and love the Lord Jesus, you will suffer some persecution, some little, some large. But we know this, that we'll all suffer if we really are Christian. It's one of the marks of being a Christian. Now, there are five classes of people that were branded or marked in the way that we've been trying to describe. I want to tell you about them tonight, because somehow each of them really speaks to us about our relationship, our response, our resolution, and our record of being a Christian. First of all, they were branded years ago concerning ownership. The brand was used for slaves in the Old Testament. Way back in the book of Exodus, it tells us about the slaves. And it tells us how that slave would work for so many years, and then he would come to the year of Jubilee, or the years that his contract had expired. And if he decided that he would now be a slave for life, he had the choice at that particular point of saying that he would be a slave. We just sang one of my favourite hymns. I love my master, I will not go out free. And that's written about Exodus and chapter 21, where the slave was brought. He'd come to the end of his servitude, and now he had the choice. He could go out free, or else he could say, no, I'm going to serve my master from now on. I'll always be a slave to my master. And of course the hymn writer says, that's exactly as the Christian. That's exactly where we stand. Oh, I love the verse, and when I was a young man, I used to always smile at that verse. It actually says that you would bring the slave, and you would take his ear, and you would put his ear against the post, or the doorpost, and you would put an owl through it. Now, when I read that, I always used to think, I'm sure it was an owl as well. Boy, they did have owl, I'm sure. If someone put anything through my ear, I would definitely owl. But that's what happened. And here was his mark. And that was the mark of ownership. It showed who he belonged to. He'd been bought in the market years previously. He'd been taken home. And each owner would say that they would give him protection and provision and plenty. Not many did that, of course, but that was what they were supposed to. And now they come to the end of their servitude. And he knew that he didn't want to belong to himself. You know, we're all slaves. Every one of us here tonight are slaves. Some are slaves to sin. And you know how sin becomes a habit, doesn't it? And you can't give it up. You're a slave to it. Slaves to Satan. If you're not a slave of the Lord Jesus, you're a slave of Satan tonight. And there are people who are slaves to other things. We all know somebody who maybe is an alcoholic or a drug addict. And in these days in which we live, there's so many of them round about. They can't give it up. They can't get free. They're absolutely slaves. And we look at people and we say, are you branded? Have you got any marks? Or if you belong to Satan, let me tell you this, you'll soon show that you belong to Satan by that brand or that mark. Have you heard the talk of a person who has no thoughts of God or of Jesus Christ? The blasphemy and the words that they use, as if they're just easy words to slip out and to come out of their mouths. And look at the action they take, and they think nothing of sin and of what they do. Oh, my friend, how awful this is. You see, we're talking about obligation and obedience tonight. And the Christian can come and say, I have the mark of the Lord Jesus. What is it? It's the mark of obedience. I am a servant of Christ. And as a servant of Christ, I want to show the mark of a servant. Being humble, recognizing my position and place, realizing that I'm nothing and nobody, realizing that God and God alone is on the throne and Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I want to serve God with all my heart for the rest of my life. Our relationship. But then there's another category or class which were branded. That was the class of ownership. Who do you belong to tonight? Do you belong to God? Belong to Satan? The second class was the class of allegiance. Soldiers years ago, and even in recent wars, used to have a tattoo on their body, maybe of the name of their general, or the name of the regiment that they actually served. Soldiers in Alexander the Great's army had his alpha. That's the first letter of the Greek alphabet, of course. Alpha for Alexander, put in their flesh on their arms or their body. And they were proud that they had this stigmata, this mark on their body. The Romans would have that as well. But the Roman soldiers had to undergo a very stiff trial before being allowed a tattoo which represented the Roman army. But once they had it, it was the most proud thing that they could ever have. Napoleon used to have his soldiers put N on their arms. Napoleon, of course, went to Russia. He arrested or he captured many Russian soldiers. One Russian soldier they caught, they branded him with an N on his arm, put him in the army of Napoleon. But as soon as this man realized what it was, he was a Russian, he didn't understand what N meant or even the French language or anything else. And as soon as he realized what it was, he actually chopped his arm off so that he could get rid of this awful stigma which he felt was a stigma upon him and upon his own life. My friend tonight, I'm telling you these things just to illustrate to you the Christian has an allegiance. Not only is he owned by the Lord Jesus, but he's in the army of the King of Kings. One day we had a call, and that call came from the God of Heaven. I remember as a young man having a letter through my letterbox, and that letter told me that I had been called up in the army. It was an official letter. It was the most official letter I'd ever had in my life. I was just a young boy of 18. And here I had a letter from the Queen. What a wonderful privilege. And the privilege was to go and join the army for 2 years. That wasn't much privilege at all. But it was a call. And the call which we give forth to everyone is to call you to join the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be soldiers of Jesus Christ, and to enter in this army against the world and the flesh and the devil, to show whose side you're really on, and to do that for his honour and for his glory. Most soldiers, if they go out on the front line, have to be ready to die. And any soldier in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ has got to be those who are prepared to even give their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not much persecution in this country today, but my friend is going to come. All these false religions which are coming upon us. And if Islam takes over, where do you think you'll stand? Do you think you'll have this church open? Do you think that you'll be allowed to worship as we do so easily? No, we won't, my friend. And there are many in the world today who are persecuted. We read of them in our Christian newspaper, don't we? And we read how young girls and young men have been such persecuted, thrown into prison, and their lives are made horrid simply because they're Christians and they're in the army of the Lord. Oh, there are good soldiers and there are bad soldiers. There are those who try to be toy soldiers playing at it. My friend, you need to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then there's another class as well. Not only is there the class of ownership and allegiance, but there was a branding for some religions. Religious devotees sometimes in the ancient world were branded. It was called consecration by stigmata. In Egypt, servants who revolted ran to the temple of Herodias, and there they had the sacred stigmata put into their flesh, and once that stigmata was put, no one dare touch them. They remained in the temple until they die. Isaiah 44 and verse 5 says, "Another shall subscribe with his hand unto me, the Lord." In other words, here is one who will put in his body by his hand that he belongs to the Lord, and it's the Lord that he seeks to serve. Well, my friend, we don't have anything put in our bodies physically, but spiritually we have. We have the love and the joy and the peace, the long-suffering and the gentleness and the goodness. We have this wonderful self-control which God and God alone gives to us. Oh, I wonder tonight if we know what this really means. Have we been branded by the Lord Jesus? And are we glad that we've been branded? We're not branded by the world. We're not branded by the devil. We're branded by the Lord Jesus himself. There was another class that used to be branded, and that was the criminals. Cain in the Old Testament was branded by God. It was a sign of guilt. And criminals have been branded. Many exposed and tried and sentenced. Vile and dangerous. And they have in their bodies a mark which tells that they have been branded forever. For some, alas, it led to great despair. And they committed suicide because of the brand that they had in it. I read about a young girl who took her new young man home to meet Mum and Dad. Mum and Dad were to be on their best behaviour as they met this young man for the first time. Well, they tried their best. But when the young man came in, he started to speak with vile language. And he took his coat off and revealed his arms, which were full of tattoos all over. And they thought, what on earth is our daughter come to with this young man? And after he'd gone and the girl came back in, they said, "He's no good for you. He's a no good man." And she said, "He must be good. He must be good." "Why must he be good?" they said to her. "Well, he told me that he's doing 500 hours of community service. He must be good." Well, we've all been deceived by that. One last class which were branded. It's the brand of reproach. Just recently we had Holocaust Day, and we were reminded of the Jews in the last war, millions of them slaughtered by Hitler's army. But the Jews in every country where Hitler reigned had to wear a sign on their arm. It was the sign of the Star of David. And it was that they were branded, they were marked. It was a mark of reproach. And people would spit at them and kick them as they passed. And finally they were herded up and taken to those awful camps in Belsen and other parts, and were slaughtered just because they were Jews. The book of Maccabees is not in our Bible, but if ever there was a book which somehow seems to be almost inspired, it's the book of Maccabees. And they say in the book of Maccabees that they were marked in their person by the sign of the ivy leaf. And that was the day of the Maccabees. Not the Maccabees were marked, but in fact they were made to be marked by that. That's what the story is. The I believe was a Greek god, Dionysus. And they had to have that, and that was what made them rebel and fight for all they were worth for freedom. This is a sign of suffering, a sign of service. Paul knew what that was. We've already described his suffering. And that's why he said, look at me, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. John Knox was one of the greatest preachers that ever came out of Scotland. Most of his ministry, by the way, was in Newcastle in England. But John Knox is noted as the great man of Scotland. He was often arrested. And once he was taken by the French, put in the galleys of a ship, and was made to row and row for many years. His hands were marked by the oars. And for 18 months he was chained in that one ship. When finally he was freed, his wife met him, and she saw him, and then she saw his hands, and she wept and wept and wept. And finally she took those hands in her hands, and she kissed them both, kissed them passionately, because she knew that he had borne that simply for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary Slessor, one of the great missionaries who went to the Calabar, apologized in one of her meetings when she came home because her hands were hard and rough and even still bleeding. Her nails had been worn down to the quick. But really, she need not apologize. Her hands were like that as the sign of service. What she'd really done for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews it says, let us go forth therefore unto him, bearing his reproach. That's the sign of the Christian. The sign of the Christian is he's in relationship with God. We are owned by him. The sign of the Christian is that we've made a response. Who is on the Lord's side? We'll serve the King of Kings. The sign of the Christian is one of resolution. Our religion is one of the Bible. We believe it. The sign of the Christian is that the record that we have against us of all our sins has been washed away, wiped clear by the blood of Calvary. And the sign of a Christian is, yes, we'll bear reproach for being Bible believers, for being those who believe in the God of heaven, for those who believe that Jesus died for our sins. That's the meaning of it. And Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Not only the meaning is here, but the making of these marks. How did Paul's branding come about? It came about in the day of his salvation. We know the story of Saul the persecutor. And we know that there was a day of reckoning. That day when he came face to face with the claims of Christ, and there on his knee he repented of his sins, and by faith he looked to the Saviour, and he prayed that Jesus would be his Saviour, and he was ready to do the will of God. My friend, has there come a day of salvation for you, young person here tonight? I want to urge you to receive the Lord Jesus while you're young. Make sure that you know Christ as your Saviour. The making also came in his duty of service. Do you know it's an amazing amount of service Apostle Paul actually accomplished. Three great big long missionary journeys. Hundreds of places preached. Hundreds of churches formed. Thousands of people who heard him and heard his message. There wasn't a day went by, no doubt, when he was preaching the gospel and telling men and women that Jesus saves. That's how he was branded. And then his delight in sacrifice. In the sacrifice which he gave. He never complained. Look at these epistles. You'll look at the end of this epistle and you will see it says, unto the Galatians, written from Rome. He's in house arrest. He's in prison. Here this man is suffering because he simply and solely is a Christian. How sad that was. But does he complain? No. It's almost with pride. He says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. His legs are manacled. His hands are chained. Look at him as he's there. But he never complains about all this. Simply and solely because he knows that he's doing the will of God. You know, there was once a Welsh preacher. His name was Christmas Evans. Christmas Evans was one of the greatest Welsh preachers that ever lived. But Christmas Evans, very young in life, when he was preaching in the open air, someone threw a stone at him, hit him in the eye. In those days there was very little medical cure. And he lost the sight of one eye. He lost his eye, in fact. He was always called the one-eyed preacher. But he thanked God for it. He thanked God for it. How could you do that? He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. A visitor to the countryside asked one of the farmers who was a Christian, what about the weather? I like whatever, he said, the weather. What do you mean you like whatever the weather? Well, the farmer said, whatever God chooses, I like. So I like the weather, whatever. Whatever God chooses, I like. Could we say that? Whatever God chooses, I like. So finally, tonight, we come to the message of this. When we are saved, there are marks we take on. There's an identification as Christians. It's the profession we make. We're Christians. Always be proud of it. Don't be ashamed of it. We're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the hymn says, 'tis the way the master went. Should not the servant tread it still? Be like Christ, his character and his holiness, his person. With Christ in the battle, we smile at the storm. That's the profession we make. The persuasion we show. We have a spiritual part to our nature. We believe that. We're not just made of body. We're not just made for this life. And that which is eternal, our soul, our spirit, we must concentrate upon. It's the most important. It's what Christ died for. He didn't die for our bodies. He died for our souls. And faith is the most important part of our lives. And eternity awaits every one of us. Therefore, bear in your body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And the preparedness we need. We must give our all for God. This life is transient. It's passing. It's just for a moment. Are we prepared to suffer for Christ? When you go to Hebrews chapter 11, you come across a lot of people who suffered. And you'll read about them in Hebrews 11. But you know, my friend, one thing that strikes me, and that is this. They were ordinary people. Yes, they were heroes. Why? Because they had faith. They were heroes because they suffered. But they were ordinary people. They were just like you, just like me. They pleased God. They suffered. We think of Noah, Moses, the prophets, great men of the Old Testament. But they were just like us. Just like us. But one thing strikes out about them more than anything else, and that is they had faith. And so by faith they conquered, by faith they overcome, and by faith they're in heaven tonight. Oh, that's the sign. That's the mark. That's our example. That's our witness. Tonight, could you face the challenge of this message? Would you say, yes, I'm prepared to bear in my body the stigmata, the marks. of our Lord Jesus, because he has saved me and cleansed me, given me the hope of heaven, I'm prepared to bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus.